And Harry heard the high, cold voice again, "Hurry!"
Is he sure that Voldemort was saying "hurry" there and not "Harry"?
Harry Potter, the boy
Harry
who loved.
Harry Potter, you're here at last.
Harry Potter, the boy who loved.
The boy who loved? What's that?
Loved.
He did that too.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 32, Flesh, Blood, and Bone.
Is this the shortest chapter so far? I think it is.
But you know, it packs a real punch. I didn't really even think much about how short it was. I sort of noted that, but it's so engaging and gripping and other words that mean those things.
Yeah, never mind all that. Let's talk about quantifiable descriptions of the chapter's length, Tom. That's what's important here. I think it's very slightly shorter than the Dementor's Kiss from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Huh.
Can we get a word count, Mr. Elm?
No.
It's a short chapter, and it features a short man, a very short character, short and stout.
Are we talking about Wormtail or the fetus?
I suppose the fetus is probably shorter, well, definitely shorter than Wormtail if you stood them up against a wall and marked their height like they were growing children. But, I mean, generally, I feel like when you think of a baby...
All right, I'm thinking of a baby.
When you're just generally thinking of babies.
When you think of a baby, you don't think of it as like a really short person. You think of it as like tiny because it's really young, but you don't think like, wow, look at how short that human is. He's a mere 2 feet off the ground. Remarkable. Harry contradicts himself completely. I mean, he's basically like, it looks like a little baby, but it also, it looks so messed up, it doesn't look anything like a baby.
The thing Wormtail had been carrying had the shape of a crouched human child, except that Harry had never seen anything less like a child.
So I don't really know what that thing looked like.
Harry should really, like, you know, take some writing classes or something, learn how to not contradict himself this way. It looks like a baby, but not like a baby. Okay, Harry, then what does it look like?
No child alive ever had a face like that.
Harry has seen a lot of children in his life, and no child he's ever seen has had such a weird face.
That Voldemort looks like a stoned human child right now. Hey guys, How do you feel about Cedric being dead? How do you feel about that?
Mr. Tom, did you have a question for us?
Hey guys, how do you feel about Cedric being dead?
Not that much, actually. And I wonder why him.
Why him?
No, not in a why him, but just like, Joe, why him? This is the first big death of the series, really. I mean, I guess there was like Harry's parents in the first chapter, but the first death that we see that we really have any connection to. And why Cedric, a character who like wasn't much of a character before this book? Even in this book, we really aren't invited to like him that much.
I think that's why Cedric, like it's increasingly important people who die as the series goes on. So we sort of start with someone who doesn't really matter all that much. The reader probably doesn't care all that much about Cedric. So the intensity sort of increases as the series continues.
I mean, I think also it's supposed to be shocking and horrific that it was a senseless murder, that he wasn't even supposed to be there. But since he was, they needed to get rid of him, and Voldemort just decided to kill him just because that's what he does.
You know, Cedric was a good guy. Also, he played Quidditch and had a dad and was dating the girl Harry liked. So these are all things we know about Cedric.
I think it's not a bad choice of a character to kill, though. The golden boy who's beaten in the tournament and everybody loves him, but he's just a normal kid at Hogwarts. And that's just showing the ruthlessness of the villain, that this is the kid he kills for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn on that, because on the one hand, that is like a good thing to establish, that Voldemort is pretty much just nonchalant about killing people. Just really doesn't care. He's, you know, I mean, the hilarious thing he literally says is, "Kill the spare."
Is that hilarious?
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
I mean, as far as things to say before you kill someone, it's just sort of just the most dubious possible thing. It's just, oh, that spare guy, kill him, you know. It's not just like, I hate you, I'm going to murder you. It's just, kill the spare.
Wormtail drew a length of some black material from the inside of his cloak and stuffed it roughly into Harry's mouth.
Ugh, that just... Not even just this scene, but just in general, whenever anyone is gagged in something I'm watching or reading, it always grosses me out. Just the idea of just like this cloth being in someone's mouth. I feel like if I was ever gagged, I wouldn't be upset about the kidnapping part. I would just be upset that there was just this thing in my mouth. Who knows where that thing has been? It's from Wormtail's robes.
Also, I mean, this isn't really part of the incantation. You know, I don't know that it was completely necessary to shut Harry up. It might just be Wormtail just as like, I don't want to hear this kid. I just happen to have some cloth in my robe.
It's a good thing I was carrying this cloth.
Maybe it's a handkerchief. Maybe he's been sneezing in it for weeks. He's been wiping spittle off of Voldemort fetus's mouth.
Stop.
Well, now we know how to torture Peter, Mr. Tom.
Yep, with the Cruciatus curse. I like how the ritual that's used to bring Voldemort back is nothing like any magic we've ever seen. It involves, like, an incantation in English, in, like, complete English phrases, as opposed to fake Latin, single-word incantations. So, if there really is such a thing as, like, capital D dark magic, then perhaps this is what it looks like, and it's very strange and different from the kinds of things that we ever see at Hogwarts.
Yeah, we on this podcast here, we talk about, like, the mechanics of how these spells work sometimes. And that's all fine and good, but like with this case, it's just like, this is, yeah, an instance where she turns everything on its head because this is something completely different. I like how mysterious and messed up it is, but also it sounds right. If you're the darkest wizard who ever lived and you were ripped from your body, but you didn't quite die, that the way you would get your body back would be you gotta take some bone particles from your father's grave and take the blood of your enemy and then flesh of your servant, and that will bring your body back. Like, it sounds right. It just seems perfect for what needed to happen there. Though we could talk about the mechanics of how that worked. I mean, did Voldemort make that up? Seems like kind of thing that probably isn't in books, really. Because, I mean, has anybody else ever lost their body in that way?
I can't imagine when it would have ever been applied other than this situation.
Yeah, do we ever find out more about where Voldemort learned this particular ritual?
As far as we know, there's really no one else who does the Horcrux thing quite like Voldemort does, so I don't know if there would have ever have been another applicable case for needing a body to put your soul into.
Well, if other wizards have created Horcruxes, as we assume others have, and then, you know, if they eventually died or they were eventually killed or something, then they would be, I guess, similarly like spirits on the wind.
And then, I mean, because Voldemort did need a body to start this. I think this was the reason he put himself into the fetus form, because, like, there's the vaguely alluded to thing that Wormtail did back in Albania, where Wormtail did whatever magic was necessary to create the fetus form that Voldemort is currently in. And it seems to be that Voldemort had to be in this fetus form to then inhabit his full body later. So I don't know if that's an intermediary step that you need to first be the fetus and then be that. And also, just like, what if you're just really old and you want a new body? Could you have then used this spell?
You have to first be the fetus.
It may be that old people wanting younger bodies is what this was originally developed for.
Right. I mean, I assume that most wizards would be kind of horrified by this and not want to do it. But, you know, for your Voldemort types, if Voldemort is just old and just wants a new body, I guess this is an option for that. And I guess he here is sort of reusing it in a new way, and that he's using it to just get a body back at all.
Or if you're a baby and you want a big body.
That too.
So you're too little. Too short. You can't reach things yet. Can't reach the cookie jar yet.
Yeah, after this ritual, Voldemort can reach a lot of things that he couldn't have reached before.
Voldemort took the cookies from the cookie jar.
In the fetus form, he was actually fully magically capable. Because, I mean, to do magic, you don't need, like, a big body. You just need your magical energy, and, you know, you can have that inside of a fetus.
Yeah, any Avada Kedavra, an old man.
Yeah, so he was fine. He could have, like, taken back over the wizarding world as a fetus. It was just that he couldn't reach things, and that would just have been really embarrassing to just, like, have to keep asking Wormtail to reach stuff for him while he's, like, you know, emperor of all the wizards. He doesn't want to have to, like, have someone else reach stuff for him. So he just thought first he would get his body back.
He's got a pretty big ego, and it probably would have been really super embarrassing for, like, him to be, like, rolling around at the Battle of Hogwarts. Everybody just laughing.
Wormtail, get me the cookies!
You know, we don't talk that much about Wormtail.
You wanna?
I mean, by we, I sort of was thinking of the Harry Potter fandom. I feel like, you know, people are so into talking about Snape and his very interesting characterization and stuff, but Wormtail, you can just dismiss him as the worst, and I guess that's fair, but also it's like his own like brand of insanity is kind of interesting.
He's kind of like the exact anti-Snape.
How do you mean?
In all the decisions that Snape made, he made the exact opposite ones, where just like Snape was a guy who was super into like the dark arts and being evil, but like always sort of made the courageous choice, whereas Wormtail was the guy who like never wanted to do anything evil, but just like always made the least courageous choice to just kind of be with the powerful guy.
I don't know. His own self-preservation is really the only thing motivating him, which makes it stranger that he would run out and try to find Voldemort, unless he was, I guess he was just scared that Voldemort would come back to power and then would be mad at him for not going and finding him.
Yeah, it probably has something to do with that and something to do with, well, he doesn't have anything else to do. I mean, he can't really rejoin society.
Yeah, but it's just such a weirdly, how could he be that selfish to be like, I don't know what else to do, so I'll just go resurrect the darkest wizard of all time. And
yeah, it just doesn't seem like he has a lot to gain from that. Like, why not just go be a rat?
Yeah.
Just go live with some rats. Just be a rat. Live out the rest of your rat days. That sounds more pleasant to me than being Lord Voldemort's servant.
Well, you've never been a rat or Lord Voldemort's servant.
Correct. But I have read books about rats, and I have read books in which people are Lord Voldemort's servant.
Oh.
This one, in fact.
Just such an insane, crazy, dark magic thing, and it doesn't thing we've seen before. Voldemort is trying to do, going out on his motorcycle, the broad perimeters of what magic can do and practically what magic is and how it works and stuff. Nobody ever used sunscreen in the 70s. There are things that magic does that know how those things are working or how it's cool that they're out there. Magic, guys.
This chapter is one of those moments in fiction where no matter how many times I re-experience it, I always have that feeling of just like wanting it to go wrong, even though I've already read it, just because I feel like there's so many little moments. I mean, like Harry is sitting there saying like, let it drown, let it drown. And I feel like I'm always there like rooting with Harry. It's like, let it drown. Even though, you know, I've read the book before. I know what's going to happen. I guess, I don't know if that's a good writing thing or what, that I'm always just like right there. It's like, oh no, don't let the bad thing happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good writing thing. I always have the same feeling at the end of the third book when they're all walking back toward the castle. And
yeah,
then,
that's
and
one too, definitely.
Full moon is out and Lupin is about to turn into a werewolf and you're just like, oh, what? No, why?
Yeah. Every time it's always just like, okay, now this time, like, put Wormtail in an unbreakable jar so he can't transform. You know, you always want them to do something like that. Or there's just so many little ways where they could have gotten out of that and they don't.
I want the books to exist. So I just want it to happen.
It's pretty selfish, Mr. Tom.
Yeah, I know. I don't really care what happens to any of the characters in the story. I just want the books to exist and be good. I don't think it would be good if Voldemort just kind of drowns here in this chapter. I don't think the rest of the books would be any good.
Well, you don't know that. It could just stop being like an adventure hero's quest kind of thing, and it could just be a normal boarding school experience.
Maybe Harry would have just had a good time for once in his life.
I don't want to read about that.
Harry Potter and the Good Time.
What was y'all's favorite phrase of the week? My phrase of the week was,
Harry had thought was a baby was.
Sorry, I gotta say it again for the laugh.
Harry had thought was a baby was.
Is that a thing that happened? Is that a phrase?
Yes, it's a phrase.
And then without warning, Harry's scar exploded with pain. It was agony such as he had never felt in all his life.
I feel like that might be the first time that happens, but then it keeps happening throughout the rest of the series, where Harry experiences the worst pain of his life. It's unimaginable. And then the next time, it's even worse. So that's a bummer.
Yeah.
You didn't think it could get any worse.
It can always get worse.
Do you think that he continued to feel worse and worse pain after the series?
Well, does Ginny die before him?
Yes.
Okay, well, if Ginny dies before him, I think old Harry might well say that watching his wife die was a pain unlike anything that his scar ever felt.
I don't know. I bet in that moment he would have said, this is the third worst pain I've ever felt. It's not quite as bad as those last two scar pains.